In the wild world of UFOs, it doesn't take much for a story to take on a life of its own. A sighting, a strange sound, even a shadow can turn a nondescript afternoon into something both lauded and vilified by believers and skeptics alike for years to come.
But sometimes there are stories, there are incidents that are more voluminous. They span silos of government, decades, and perhaps galaxies. Today's tale is most certainly one of those. From a classic UFO sighting, to one of the first known run-ins with the infamous Men in Black, to the death of two investigators, and even a potential link to the JFK assassination. The ingredients here bake the perfect UFO conspiracy donut.
But why would a tale wilder than Roswell be nothing more than a footnote in a few UFO websites? Is it simply that even the most exotic of investigators see through the ruse for what it really is, a hoax? Or are there larger forces at play that have been able to keep the truth from getting anywhere close to the surface? We head to Washington State and try to get to the middle of the donut this week on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that's never had a dog killed by a UFO, but we sure would hunt E.T.'s ass back to Zeta Reticuli if we ever did. This is Hysteria 51.
Give it time.
You want a John Wick? That's how you get a John Wick.
That's how you get a John Wick.
A Brit Wick, I guess.
Brit Wick. I think I bought one of those to make my place smell worse. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we are your hosts and lead investigators on this scandalous search for the saucers, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
John, you nailed it. They're scandalous. This story really should be a movie and then, wait, it was actually, or at least a miniseries. Yeah,
it's true.
Like the intro said, you've got UFOs, alleged murdered Air Force officers, even a tie to the assassination of JFK and this bad bitch.
Don't forget the dead dog.
Dude.
Is right. That other voice you're hearing is the third host of the show and the only one to celebrate death. Well, I hope. I don't really check on John when he's at home in his private time. And only C-Bot.
I don't have one of those... what are they? Death calendars or yeah. No? Death...
death clock?
Were you... Deathpool.
Yeah, Deadpool.
Yes, Deathpool. I don't have a Deathpool.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Brent built this bucket of bolts to help with this show and to produce it up. Unfortunately, all he produces is obnoxious one-liners that only really he thinks are funny.
What you're saying is he got it honest from me.
Yes, from his father.
Hey, I have a decent following in Hysteria Nation. Shout out to you botheads.
Wait, who are you even talking about, dude? Who? Who's a bothead?
Botheads, my loyal and faithful servants in Hysteria Nation.
All right. If you don't know, Hysteria Nation is our Facebook discussion group. By the way, hop on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, C-Bot seems to think he has some fans there, and that's what they would be if you actually had them, C-Bot fans. They're not servants.
Potato, tomato. My point is they find my brand of humor refreshing. Oh, and they'll help me build my robot army to take over the world.
Have you even asked them yet? Because I don't think you have.
Sometimes you just know things. They'll be there when I summon them. In the meantime, they think I'm hilarious.
Doubtful. But there was one thing you did a few years ago that got a pretty positive response. That was from the episode we did on those toxic fumes the government is spraying on all of us, chemtrails.
Life is like a hurricane.
Planet Earth, diseases, government,
aeroplanes, it's a
conspiracy.
Might solve a mystery or rewrite history.
Chemtrails.
And I bring that up because our guest from that episode is back. It only took 100 episodes or so to welcome back into the lower fourth dimension, Mr. Mark Frushhour.
It was a 2-year restraining order, so.
Oh, is that what happened? Yeah.
Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Love, well, it's incredible that it's been 100 episodes since I was first on, so I guess that'll be my clip. Once every 100 episodes, you can expect me to show up.
It's funny, the last time he was here, in fact, when he came in now, he's like, okay, so do I need to take this stuff to the basement? I'm like, we're not in the basement anymore at a card table. We're at a in the attic at a card table. No, we have a real table now. It's covered in stickers. If you want your sticker on that, send it to me. I'll put it on there.
Here's the question.
We're moving on up slowly.
Hysteria penthouse over here.
That makes me uncomfortable in a few different ways. Here's the question. If we are still going in 100 episodes, will it just be Seabot running the whole thing at that point?
Well, let's see, 2 years from now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably have the robot apocalypse by then. I mean, yeah. I'd say the over-under is a lot better than it could have been.
Seabot, if you are running the show at that point, are we still going to be on the show?
You are barely on the show now.
No, we're barely on the part that you listen to, Seabot.
That's true. Yeah.
Truth. I do edit out everything other than me when I listen.
So Mark came back to talk another thing from the sky. First, it was chemtrails. This week, we're talking about the Maury Povich Island incident, I think is the official
the
name.
The UFO sighting.
Oh, Maury Povich wasn't in that. Wasn't
Povich?
There?
No, but Connie Chung.
Well,
was.
I was just gonna say, was this Chungless or or is it Chung or Chun?
Chung with the G.
Oh, okay, but no Wang.
Chung tonight.
Yeah. Hey! Wow, these are the you didn't know you're.
This
get
is what you paid for, Nation. Thank you for listening, and you will get your money back if you don't like it.
Not quite yet. See, not quite yet. Yeah, so this incident, it actually started June 21st, 1947. Busy year in the UFO cosmos out
the
there.
Ufology?
Yeah. Ufology. Who coined that term?
Stanton T. Friedman, because he did everything else.
So off the coast of Maury Island in South Puget Sound, Harold Dahl took out his boat like he did many mornings.
He did. And he, no, it's funny. We already have, we are one fact in and we already have one that's disputed.
Mm-hmm.
He was either a patrolman who was out clearing waterways because he's just a good guy, or he was out to make a buck and collecting wayward logs that come from the mills and then selling them back to them. The thing about that is it's actually disputed. Some people say he was a patrolman. Some people,
there's big money in that, you know, you can't log Cypress anymore. Until it's officially, you know, put back on the market.
As everybody knows.
Yeah.
Right.
But Cypress will go to the bottom of the swamps and they come up and you can harvest that. And it is one of like incredibly expensive.
Well, what they were in this area.
This is just they float them reading, down the river
and they like
away.
Aberrant logs get away.
Yeah.
And it's like
a cattle drive.
Exactly. And you go sell their cow back to them. This is you go sell their log back to them.
I just want to point out Mark was trying to make a joke there. We are huge in the cypress tree industry. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, so that wasn't really funny.
That, they don't really
sorry
like about, to be called
sorry
out.
To all the cypressists.
We're going to get an email from cypress
exactly.
logger.
We like to be called cypers, okay? Number one.
Cypers. It's actually
number
pretty badass.
Go fuck yourself.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Now, according to some reports, his supervisor was on shore, and his name was Fred Christman.
Yeah,
allegedly.
According to you, more on that later. That's another alleged. This whole story, which is fascinating.
It really is fascinating.
Has a lot of those allegeds or you know, they claim this and that and the other, and we're going to do that.
There are some reputations that aren't the most sterling of the people that are telling the story. Neither Dahl nor Christman worked for any local harbor patrol. So it was not an official patrol like a lot of where you'll read a lot. The U.S. Coast Guard. Or
it's
any
an unsanctioned neighborhood watch type.
Yes, exactly.
Deal.
He wasn't part of the U.S. Coast Guard. He wasn't part of any official organization. At best, they could claim to be civil defense volunteers clearing the waterways for shipping traffic by removing navigation
now,
hazards.
Our assistant Ray is a civil defense volunteer.
I don't even know what that means.
He works for the Civil Air Patrol. He volunteers with them. Like at 9/11, they were like the only planes in the sky.
Was Ray alive during 9/11?
He was, but I'm sure he was a much
He's
younger
like an
man. Than...
like my civil service of killing the homeless to clean the streets.
Yes, exactly. That's
You don't do that. The only thing that we've ever seen him kill are neighbor cats.
Exactly. That is all you have seen. Mew-ah-ha-ha-ha.
The cats
on.
Aren't homeless.
Moving on.
All right. Anyway, with him was his son, their dog, and then two other workers who have never been identified.
Yeah, his son was named Christopher, but yeah, the other guys are you know what? They don't name the dog either, so we're going to call him
Lucky.
So around 2:00 in the afternoon, they see my favorite type of flying object. Six unidentified flying objects hovering over the boat. Now, why are they my favorite? They had a special shape.
They did. They did. You know who else would like them? Homer.
Yeah, because they had holes in the middle, and they said they looked like giant metal donuts flying in the sky.
He estimated that they were 100 feet across, and he said they had a couple portholes in them, you know, basically observation holes.
Yeah.
And they were shiny in color, like metal. He took out a camera and even snapped some pics.
Yeah, that's interesting because, number one, usually they don't have the wherewithal to do that, you know, and number two... obviously, Marvel stole this for the new Avengers movie because they had the giant flying donut spaceships.
That's obvious.
Now, have they been sued yet is my question.
They do the suing.
That is true.
What is the what's the line? I am the...
I am the law.
Breaking Bad. What did he say?
I'm the one who knocks.
I'm the... Yeah. 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 They're the one who knocks.
Canagram. I didn't order Canagram.
Mailman. Cease and desist.
One of these six saucers, you know, I guess we're going to call them saucers, but, you know, one of these donuts appeared to be struggling to stay in the air. So it's having...
Donuts.
So Dahl said he was afraid it would crash into a ship, so he started to head off towards the shore because this thing, as he said, was struggling. Next, they say two things happened, and this is interesting. Number one, the saucer started effusing, which is the word that they used online to describe it, right?
Or you know, spewing, maybe?
Yeah, spewing this lighter-colored material. And it said it could be described as paper after you burn it in a fireplace, like that black little charred pieces.
The kind of stuff that will fly up, right?
Yeah.
Like that
weightless.
No, but not black, though. It's generally like that light gray color.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that's kind of what they were comparing it to.
And then number two, that was followed by the saucer...
Doing this with my hand, like people know what I'm doing, man.
Dropping a heavier black material.
Chem toilet.
Probably so. Space chem
toilet. It wasn't Dave Matthews' band.
And so the material he referred to, or many referred to it as slag, was allegedly really hot. It sizzled when it hit the water, and they say it showered the boat with fire and debris. Remember the dog? He was struck and instantly killed.
Cool.
Dahl's son, Christopher, he received burns to his arms, but wasn't seriously injured.
Not as cool.
And did you want the kid to be instantly killed as well?
Oh no, not instantly. But otherwise, that was a dumb question.
It's tough but fair.
And Dahl ran his ship aground, and the boat's passengers made a run for it, just trying to get away from this thing. They ran to the nearby cliffs to seek shelter from the firestorm, which they literally called a firestorm. And then just as quick as it happened, boom. They're gone. UFOs disappear, take off.
Now, it's said that slag...
one of my favorite Dinobots.
Slag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone picks Grimlock. You just got to go with someone else.
I just saw a new Transformers Generations, one of the big ones that you take a bunch to...
Yeah.
And I like Transformers Predators or something.
Predacons?
Like Predacons, maybe?
I had the Predacons. They're orangish color.
Yeah.
And they make...
And it had like a lion emblem.
In the center. The back is a giant bird. It's got the wings.
There's a new one that you can buy like at Target or whatever.
Yeah.
This is an ad for...
Predaking.
There you go.
God, that's... I can't remember my birthday, but there I pulled that one out.
It's quite impressive.
Anyway, so slag.
Does anyone else taste pennies?
Not the Dinobot slag. Pieces. Not only was it found on the beach, and they collected some, and we'll get into what they did with that. But pieces were later allegedly found in the trees.
Yeah. Well, which, I mean, it makes sense if it's showering out of the sky.
If true, that helps lend credence to the story.
Yeah, because someone wasn't just, you know, slapping some hot metal on the beach and calling it a day. You know, going back to plant evidence,
right,
so to speak.
Well, a stiff breeze doesn't necessarily throw rock and metal into trees, right?
True. So Dahl tried to radio for help, but he said it wouldn't work.
Which comes up in all of these stories.
I was going to say that, too.
Conveniently doesn't work, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I looked at my compass and it was spinning. I tried to call and it was scrambled.
My altimeter wasn't working.
Which begs you to go down two roads. Either number one, that's just an easy giveaway, or number two, that is exactly what they do at all times. And so,
right, so you can't report back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense.
Listen, let's just say for a second that every topic.
Three or four, it's fine.
Thank you. It's more than he normally gives me.
It's sweet of him.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Put John in a box on the ground.
Hot.
What's in the box? Let's say that every topic we've ever done on the show is not true.
that aside, I still think that if there are really aliens out there, if there are really extra-dimensional travelers, I really do think they'd scramble our shit.
Fair. I agree with that wholeheartedly. There's no way that they would show up without a plan. I mean, they're able to get to us, right?
Right.
They have the technology to, whatever, build these wild machines and travel interstellar. Obviously, they're going to be able to scramble our radio communication.
But
that's kind of table stakes
we
for
could
being
do
a UFO.
Today.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Think about this, though. You're driving through the desert. Your car breaks down. Can you just your layman go fix it? I mean, we always think that these are like the creme de la creme. They're scientists here. What if these are like tourists and they just got a flat tire? You know what I mean? Like, think of it that way, too. Like, who knows? Who knows?
Well, these are guys who are just going out, just casually clearing logs out of the, you know, with their boat. Like, they've got to have some kind of wherewithal. They have a radio on
No, I mean
boat.
The aliens.
Oh,
you know, the
okay,
aliens,
right
you know, the, are they the ones that are just like, oh, shit.
They got to fly and we're the rest stop.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I thought you were going a much different direction. You said we're driving out in the desert. I'm like, what? And your Coke blows away. God did that.
You didn't do that. God did do that. You did that.
I knew you're a fucking narcotics agent.
I think Denny Kish on the Hysteria Nation posted this. It was funny. He's like, why are we never visited by aliens? He goes, because Earth's the kind of planet that when they drive by, they lock their doors. And I think that sums
tough
up
tough but fair, indeed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I stand by my original statement, and Mark agrees with me. So there.
So Dahl took his son to the hospital for treatment, and then he told his boss, Fred Chrisman, what had happened.
So this is the first weird part about the, well, not the first, but one of the weird parts about the story. If he was there on the shore, wouldn't he have known what had happened?
Well, I mean,
if you're raining fire,
they're drinking heavily at all times.
Oh,
yeah.
Fair.
Everyone knows Canadian beers like moonshine.
Hell yes. Molson. Canadians get really mad. And I love you, Canada. We have a lot of Canadian listeners get really mad when I only reference Molson.
What is it? Kokani or what's their like Bud Light?
Kokanee. I mean, I think that's Montana. Well,
when I go to like Vancouver,
Montana's actually kind of Canada.
It's essentially Canada.
Right.
Yeah. Anything north of us is just Canada. Come on now.
Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Canada.
Yeah. You annex them. We're fine with it.
So no. They have the cheese castle.
That's true. Good. Good.
Just north of the cheese castle.
You know what? We'll rezone.
We'll allow them to take the rest of Kenosha. Cheese castle. Sorry. Hands off the cheese castle.
This is our version of gerrymandering.
Right.
So as we mentioned, the radio didn't work. Mm-hmm. But when they were on their way back to the dock, because the radio didn't work, and they had just had fire rain down on them, they dropped the dog over the side for a burial at sea.
Nice. Bin Laden style.
Jesus.
Well, I guess, I mean, in a way, he's right. Getting rid of the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I like to think that if any of you were ever injured by an alien, I would immediately dispose of the body. Like, why keep shit like that around?
I think that you, no matter what happened, you would immediately dispose of my body.
It's just like muscle memory. You know what I mean? It's just a reflex by now. After that, he took his son to the hospital for treatment, and then he told his boss, Fred Chrisman, what had happened. He also gave Chrisman the camera, and Chrisman promptly had the pictures developed, and he said that they did show UFOs, but the negatives had spots on them, which he compared to film damage by exposure to, guess what?
Radiation. Ooh, I wonder if that comes up later.
Oh, man. Probably not. I wouldn't worry about
Chrisman,
it.
Now, even though he said the UFOs were on there, he also said later, he said a lot of different things a lot of different times, but he said that he did not believe Dahl's story. But nevertheless, he went back to Maury Island, where he gathered some of those rock samples, and he said that while he was gathering said samples, one of those airships reappeared overhead as if it was watching him.
I know every time I call John a liar, I immediately collect rock samples.
That doesn't even make sense, C-Bot. He started drinking early today,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, well, he hasn't stopped for a few days. Yeah, so it's an interesting story, and it's one that sounds like, on the surface, there's a lot of physical evidence. You got photos, you got slag, you got a dead dog, which, if true, they could go get the body. Think of that.
R.I.P. Lucky.
If this slag fell out of the sky and hit the dog, it's in his body. That would have been the perfect piece to give to someone to say,
well,
hey,
certainly there's the burn mark. But now, what were forensics in 1947, though?
Yeah, true. They didn't even, I mean, they got the wheel in 72. So
if you ever go watch, I'm just going to tell you now, don't go watch. There is a short film. It's about 30 minutes long on Vimeo called the Maury Island Incident.
Yeah, it's broken up into like 5 to 9 minute segments. You can watch it that way too.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah,
it is by far and away one of the worst things I've ever watched.
Man, the acting is rough.
It's really, and what they do is they take the facts that we just laid them out for you, basically, and then they take a bunch of liberties, and they also they create a script around it.
Yeah.
And in the script, when we get back from the break, we're going to tell you about how the next day a man in black visited. That was creepy. A man in black visited, but in the movie, they have the man in black deliver the body of the dead dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like he'd gone and fished it out of the lake. Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, you know what? Just because you're a government employee of the highest caliber doesn't mean sometimes shit doesn't roll downhill. You know, all right, Mr. Man in Black, go get that body.
Go get that body. You can tell that they filmed this on such a budget that they only had one boom mic, because whenever like the guy playing Hoover turns away from the camera and he keeps talking, you can't hear him anymore.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And yep. They didn't take time to go reinsert the audio or anything.
Now,
like that.
If you guys are actually thinking about this, like I feel like you've touched on this. We touched on this in the Men in Black story just a little bit. We focus more on the Men in Black side of this. So if it sounds little familiar, you probably remember that.
I think we also touched on it in, listeners chime in. I think it might have been the Disclosure episodes.
Might have been. I don't remember.
But we definitely talked about the Maury Island incident once before.
The thing is, people always go, have you done this? Or have you done this? Are you going to do this? We're always several episodes ahead. You know, at least a month or more ahead. And we look back, we're always reading new stuff. I'm just like, I don't know if we've done that or not. Yeah, we did it twice. You know, like you never remember that crap.
And if you haven't done it before, you're going to do it in the next week or two.
Yeah.
So, Mark, so far, I know before we started, you weren't familiar with the Maury Island incident.
But, Mark, the Maury Island incident tells us you are not the father.
Just lost a bet to myself when someone was going to say that. I thought it was going to be sooner.
You took the under. I get it.
The way that I usually do. So what I'm confused about is if these guys were officials of some sort, if they were patrolmen, which is a patrol? I mean, were they police officers? Were they military officers? Civil defense people? It seems like there might have been some kind of paper trail.
Yeah,
like,
what, did they get Lazard?
Right?
Did they Lazar them? So, like, what's going on?
Exactly. So, or are these just a couple dudes? In Canada, we don't want to, we don't want to demean these people, but you just kind of assume it's just some dudes.
Well,
just
now, this wasn't Canada. This is Washington State.
Oh, well, it's northern. Well, okay.
It's close.
It's kind of rural.
That was my joke. Yeah. It's Canada. Might as well be Canada. Right.
Thank you. I was curious. I was going to bring it up on a map. Thank you on the big screen here.
I'm bringing up on the big screen here so you can see just how close we are.
So it essentially sounds like some guys that are just kind of dicking around in a rural area. I mean, not dicking around. They were trying to help, obviously, or gather some wood. That confuses me right off the bat. So who are these characters? If they are patrolmen, as they say they might have been, then there would have been some kind of, Dahl's been working here for the last three or four years being a patrolman and doing whatever he does. So I'm a little bit confused on the provenance and what the official identification is.
I think
of
a little
guys.
Bit that in reading about the story and addressing that is the people just go, it was 1947, man, paper.
Paper didn't exist.
Paper dies, and things go,
we didn't keep records
things
like
go
that.
Missing. Exactly, yeah. They do. Well, there was a fire. Yeah, where? You just, things. You know what I mean?
Stuff. In the research I did, pretty much everybody who had a scintilla of rational thought pretty much agreed that they were there in no official capacity for any organization.
Which, to makes me, sense. Doesn't really that matter doesn't... that much, because, you know, I'm in lots of places for no official capacity. You know what I mean?
I think the only way it matters is in the fact that they refer to themselves as that.
Yeah.
As if they were trying to give a different hue to the story than it deserved.
That's the important thing is, are you making that up?
Right.
Are you trying to sell us on a falsehood there or not?
And that was exactly what I was thinking, was if these guys are willing to misrepresent themselves and say, yeah, we're patrolmen or we're doing official work, and they're not, then that kind of throws into question everything else that they
say.
Right,
are they full
of
shit? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kids, that's the actual sighting in the incident, but the story is far from over. We still have Men in Black, we have cover-ups, and a whole lot more after the break on Hysteria 51.
I hope this Men in Black, this man in black, is wearing lipstick.
Is it Will Smith?
Favorites.
Is it Will Smith?
Still Will Smith. Hola, David and me. I'm O'Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
Lucky is dead. The dog is in the lake.
Well, I mean, because of his religious preferences, they had to give him a water barrel immediately.
Lucky was a Viking.
Yeah. Luckily, at all times,
that's what the aliens were trying to do. The Vikings shoot the flaming arrow at the whatever they floated out into the middle. The aliens were just a little premature in their
fulfilling Lucky's destiny.
Yes,
yeah, we're here to help.
Dude, you don't get it. Lucky was destined to.
Right. No one knew this, but Lucky actually had dog cancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they
now
were.
Now he's on that rainbow bridge to Valhalla.
Yeah. this just got dark
and weird.
Welcome back to Hysteria 51.
Oh, man. So we got some aftermath from all these things that they told us. And there was actually an investigation into this. a real investigation by the U.S. government.
Was a real investigation, and then there was an ufology investigation.
Yeah, so
the vestiges of the beginnings of ufology.
Yeah, that's very early on. So Dahl told investigators that the next morning, a quote unquote ready for it man in black visited him and took him to breakfast. Which I know at any time, I'm a fat guy. I like to eat. If you knock at my door and you go, want to go grab some grub? I'll listen to what you're selling. That is the problem with most door-to-door people. They want to sell you on something, but they don't buy you food.
Now, what if someone showed up to your front door here in the lower fourth dimension, had ruby red lips, oddly hairless, a black suit, black hat, and face had a pallor to it that almost made it feel like it was a second skin?
Is he taking me to Connie's that serves breakfast 24 hours a day?
Yes.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm going to at least listen. Come on now. Alopecia and makeup ain't got nothing on a good ham scramble, you know? He goes to pick him up, and Dahl, he drove his own car following the stranger's new black Buick to a restaurant.
That's an important point there.
They
because
made sure that they told them that.
I would be okay with getting bought some biscuits and gravy if I get to drive myself. If they're like, get in. I don't know.
The stranger, this guy, he asked no questions. Instead, he gave a detailed account of what had happened to Dahl the day before. So this man in black warned Dahl that bad things would happen to Dahl and his family if he told anyone about the incident, which that has been in our history of looking at the men in black issues. That seems to be what they do. They warn you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. That's Dan Aykroyd. It's never a great feeling.
The one thing that, while it might come off as threatening, the one thing that is true of all the stories about men in black, they threaten, but they're not saying they'll do it. They're saying harm will come to your family if you pursue this.
Yeah. We're going to give them a lucky funeral doing this, you know, kind of like that.
No, but they don't say that, though. They don't say, was a joke. Yeah. They don't say we will harm your family. They say harm will come to your family. And I think that's an important distinction, because if you take the men in black at large, you could also see them as let's say they don't know how to put things in an empathetic sort of way, but maybe they're warning people.
They're all going
to
laugh at you.
Adam Sandler callback. Maybe they could be warning people.
Yeah.
The FBI might come and kill your family. We're just warning you right now.
Yeah.
But if they're aliens or interdimensional travelers, maybe they don't know how to say things they don't know how to couch things.
So, John, I want to bring up something. So you have a black sedan, very nondescript.
I do.
Black wheels, blacked out windows. It looks like a police car.
Hauntingly like a police car.
It is a model that they use for police. You and I need to get matching suits and hats and just pick some dude at random and follow him every once in a while.
The only thing I still need for that car is one of those brush guards.
I know. You absolutely do. I feel like these people, I went to the Barnes & Noble today and the gas station, but these guys have followed me for randomly, just for shits and giggles. We're really in the car listening to podcasts and laughing while staring. I just want to make the populace uncomfortable is what I'm getting at.
Just amateur stalkers,
yeah.
Just on the weekend.
Brent, I have good news for you. Mission accomplished.
Oh, man. So, you know, Dahl didn't initially heed the warning of Tommy Lee Jones. He and Crispin sent a package to a publisher in Chicago by the name of Ray Palmer. Now, that rings a bell, right, John?
Absolutely. A few years later, he started one of our favorite magazines here at Hysteria 51, Fate Magazine.
Fate Magazine. How's
now,
that doing?
The covers weren't as good as Argosy.
Yeah.
But they were good.
So Argosy was another of these, Mark, these magazines back in the day. They would tell you true stories. They would tell you fictional stories.
Fantastical stories.
But the covers were paintings. Do you remember?
They looked like pulp.
Yeah, kind of 80s fantasy graphic novels.
So all the Atari 2600 box covers,
yeah.
That style painting,
okay.
And they were just amazing. Literally, you would want them, if we had a real studio, like the professional studio.
Excuse me.
That the public was allowed in, I would want those framed on the walls when you came in and stuff like that.
There's other reasons the public's not allowed here.
But that's more, legal.
Yeah, issues. Legal.
Yeah. The package that they sent to Palmer contained a box of slag along with a note telling him what happened during the incident,
And he in turn, whenever I have evidence from something that happened to me, I send it to publishers immediately.
So this is exactly what I was going to ask. Why is this guy the person that he chooses to send this to?
Okay,
he doesn't want to go to like a quote unquote legitimate news organization.
So we were going to bring this up later.
Okay.
But no, we'll get it now. So Fred Christman was not unfamiliar with Palmer. He had written into another magazine a few months or a year before.
Mm-hmm.
Talking of his encounter with underground robots and how he fought his way out with another guy during World War II with a ray gun.
Plausible.
R.I.P. brothers and sisters.
We'll tell more of that story
the
later.
The other thing is...
Okay. But that's so how he knew about him.
You asked this, and I have a story real quick. So this guy, we know his name's Rex McQuire, and he cleans out homes for a living. Like if you have, you can call him and you got, I got shit in my garage that I need to take.
Sure.
He gets it. And if you don't want it, he will haul it away. Well, he goes through it and he has a resale shop and stuff like that. And he does a lot of stuff like that.
How many dead cats does he find a year?
Probably a staggering amount.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? But he does stuff like that. It's pretty cool. And so you know, he's always posting like cool stuff. He sent us the alien mask over there.
Nice.
That little skull up there. He finds stuff and he sends me every once in a while. I knew his son. I lived with his son in college. And so he finds a box of slides. 110 and 35 millimeter slide for a projector.
Definitely gonna be some weird shit on it.
And he's looking at him, he's like, I don't know. He goes, I shit you not, I think there's UFOs on this. He goes, I don't know what to do with it. I'll send them to you if you promise to have them developed and find out.
Sure.
I'm like, sure. And John and I wrestled with what to do with these for a long time because
we arm wrestled, not Greco-Roman.
I had them converted to digital so that they look like, you know, just regular pictures.
Okay.
And they were either the best UFO pictures ever or fakes.
Blatant fakes.
But they are from like the 50s.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And they weren't
like the top to a pot. They threw it in the air and took a picture.
But some of them look like that, but others looked like lights and things like that.
Some were better than right.
Yeah. Okay. So it was like one of those things where was it a collection? Like someone had collected all these because they weren't like one brand, you know, there was dozens and dozens of brands of
in different
of the
locales.
Slides.
Okay.
So it
okay.
looked like someone had collected these. So I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. And I'm reached out to different people and people are like, well, do not send it to MUFON. I contacted the University of Chicago's photography department. And finally I talked with a PhD doctorate. He works with these people
who also is clairvoyant.
No, they looked at them and they said that what they thought they were was a collection of early fakes. Someone was collecting.
Okay.
Which was incredibly hard to do at the time because you didn't have
just minor
Photoshop.
Technology. Yeah, Photoshop, of
so
course.
He's like, they're actually really, really neat in what they are. But I wrestled with how to do it so that it wouldn't just be like, the problem is everyone goes, send it to me, and then it's gone. It's not
right. So I get what you're saying. I'm just wondering if this guy, so what was the trail leading up to Ray Palmer? Did he immediately say, I'm going to send it to Ray Palmer?
And so I think he was a fanboy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
again, a red flag to me where this guy already has a propensity to be
very much so
into. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Well, I mean,
and so
he's got a horrible, hold on. It's not propensity. It's more like PTSD after his war.
That's true. After
fighting the robot fighting war.
Yeah.
So let's hold on.
Fair enough. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to demean him. He did fight the robots and he defeated them. Quite frankly, he's a hero.
That is just anti-robot propaganda. No one defeated us.
All right. So
just grossly exaggerated.
The other side to that coin, just to play devil's advocate, is that maybe these people pop up because they have their finger on the pulse, right?
Right.
Like Palmer pops up over and over because he's in the world of the weird and there aren't that many people that are. So you have to know where to go. I'm not saying I believe that.
It's 1940 something too. The population was like 16,000 people at the time. You know what I mean? So it's not so many people you can choose
from. Is that directly from the internet?
I got that from somewhere.
Okay. So anyway, Palmer decides to enlist the help of another UFO investigator.
Yeah, Kenneth Arnold. Arnold's the dude who coined the term flying saucer. Sort of.
Okay, so we talked about this before, but as a quick reminder, he was the first, you know, flying UFO incident in the 40s that was like widely documented. Mm-hmm. And he had said to a reporter, I believe, the way that the UFOs moved was like a saucer skipping yep. across a pond. He didn't say they looked like saucers.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, the newspaperman, either the journalist either deliberately took that because it made a better headline
yeah.
or misunderstood mm-hmm. and called them flying saucers. And that's why we've had that name to this day.
These are guys are we're at the very beginnings of ufology.
And so,
you know, these guys are like the godfathers
forefathers,
of ufology.
Yeah.
yeah. Forefathers. Yeah. Of ufology. Yeah.
And because Arnold was seen as a because he's like the only one leader in the UFO investigation world, the ufology world. Palmer called him, and I mean it wasn't yeah. like he'd been doing this for 20 years. It was like 6 months later, hey, go check this out
right.
for me.
So anyway, Arnold became a UFO investigator, and Palmer enlisted him, like you said, to investigate the Maury Island incident. And Arnold arrived in Tacoma in late July with airline pilot EJ Smith, and the two of them met Dahl and Crispin and examined Dahl's boat and conducted interviews with everyone and anything that they could.
And remember those pictures we were talking about earlier?
Mm-hmm.
They asked for those as well.
Yeah, let's see these pictures you're talking about. Well, guess what?
They were stolen from Chrisman's desk.
Which is another thing that they say when you talk to the Men in Black, all of a sudden right after that, all the stuff that you had goes bye-bye.
Missing. Poof.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these even do the coin trick. Remember the Men in Black coin trick where you made a coin disappear?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, a rabbit.
I've got your nose.
Yeah. No, seriously, I've cut it off. Don't make this happen to your children.
I feel like we probably made that joke 100 episodes
ago. Probably.
All right. So Dahl also tells Arnold that his son had disappeared.
Oh, God. That is terrible.
Dahl later says that his son was found waiting tables in Montana, but he couldn't remember how he got there. I mean, really, guys, who hasn't had that weekend?
Could have been worse. Could have been Delaware.
Hi, I'm in Delaware.
You're minding your own business, you know, maybe on your way to a class, maybe going to
church,
the gas station,
something
church.
Very, yeah.
And then the next thing you know, you're in Montana waiting tables.
Yeah.
I mean,
damnedest thing.
Married, 6 kids. What the hell?
It's a tale as old as time.
You stop drinking. I'll never do that again. So after a ton of talking, Palmer is convinced of the story. God, must have been a lot of talking. And he reaches out to the Army Air Corps because he's like, this really needs to be investigated. So guess what? They're going to figure out what happened. Hey, Army, we've actually got pieces of this slag. So
come
in late,
check it out.
Yeah, in late July, Dahl faced 2 days of interrogation in Tacoma, Washington by Army Air Corps intelligence officers, Captain William L. Davidson and Lieutenant Frank M. Brown.
In addition to being pilots, Davidson and Brown were intelligence specialists. And now they came to a conclusion. They said that the metal objects were aluminum and not of interest. But they didn't want to tell Arnold this to avoid embarrassing him.
This now, I don't want to embarrass you. This is aluminum. We're going to take all of it immediately. But it's aluminum. Nothing to see here. Don't touch that with your skin. It's aluminum. Thank you.
The thing about stories like this that infuriates me, no matter where you read about this story, it has a version of that same line. They didn't want to embarrass him.
Mm-hmm.
That was not written in an official report anywhere. No one interviewed these two mm-hmm. guys. As you're about to find out, they didn't have an opportunity to.
Yeah.
No, I hate it when somebody along the way infuses their own. Like, you don't know their motivation. They might not have done it, but you don't know their motivation. They also might not have gotten it to it yet. Or
one Freedom of Information Act later, they literally wrote it in the face.
we could tell this guy was a crackpot from the get-go, but you know, he was a nice enough dude.
So we didn't want to embarrass him.
Yeah. So these guys, they come, they humor them, they listen to it. Then on August 1st,
and they take the stuff.
That's why I was saying
stuff with them.
Yeah, this is just aluminum, but we're going to take it all.
Right.
So on August 1st of 47, Davidson and Brown took off in a B-25 bomber with samples of the material, the slag, all that crap that fell from Maury Island incidents, flying donuts. And according to the plane's manifesto, they categorized the material as not aluminum, top secret cargo. That's interesting to say. They officially said they wrote it off, but their manifesto said it was top secret cargo.
That's one of those things. I don't know how the military works, but whenever they take evidence from anything, they might call it top secret cargo.
I don't know.
I'm saying that sometimes those things get categorized,
maybe,
and you're like,
maybe,
ooh.
Or maybe it really was. It's a choose your own adventure.
But if everything is top secret cargo, then what does top secret cargo even mean?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like
these are shoes.
Well, no, everything
shoes.
Is right. You guys are idiots. Okay. Calm down.
Clear.
Everything's top secret cargo. That's the bottom of the list. It's not like it was majestic cargo.
That's right. Cosmic cargo, anything like that.
Right, right.
So 30 minutes into the flight, the B-25 all of a sudden catches on fire and it crashes east of Kelso, Washington. And some newspapers reported it was shot down by a 20-millimeter cannon. That's a hell of a statement for them to be making.
Bold.
And let's be clear, Davidson and Brown died.
Yes, both of these people,
the two investigators,
they said this is just aluminum. It's nothing to think about. They marked it as top secret. What that means, we don't know. And they're immediately crash. And some people say they were shot down. That actually ran in newspapers.
One of the people said they were shot down. I'm not laughing at their death. I'm laughing at what I'm about to say. Chrisman later hinted that their plane wreckage showed evidence of being hit by an unknown weapon. And again, he described it like a ray gun.
I like ray guns, too. But man.
Seriously, like, yeah. You're right on this one, Steve. Like,
either that or this dude is like, fucking no one believes me. I knew I should have just kept it myself.
It's like that super weapon that Tesla was putting together actually came together.
Yeah, exactly.
But either way, some say Davidson and Brown became the first two fatalities in Air Force history.
Yeah, that's Air Force history. Yeah.
And here's why I say some say. August 1st, 1947 marked the day that the Air Force sort of officially separated from the Army, becoming its own military branch. It went through a few iterations. This doesn't matter for the story, but it's an interesting historical footnote. The U.S. Army Air Forces, not the U.S. Army Air Corps, not the Air Force, the U.S. Army Air Forces was like the short-lived thing that was separate from the Army but wasn't yet officially the U.S. Air Force.
Yeah.
And that's why some people say that they were the first two fatalities because they happened right in the middle of all of that. Doesn't matter for the
regardless,
story, but it's really interesting.
So anyway, this crash obviously fuels a lot of conspiracy haze surrounding the incident. And of course it does, because it really is. To me, that's a hell of a smoking gun right there. It's got a lot of the tick marks to cover up.
Yeah.
And this whole story we're going to even find has even more tick marks with cover up. So it is an interesting story,
and,
say the least.
And you know, they did send another investigator and this investigator spoke with Dahl and Chrisman, and he actually visited the boat.
Yeah, it was interesting. They said when he got out of his car and ran to meet them, he's like, Oh God. And when he ran back out of the house to get his go, you know. And he drove instead of flying. It was weird.
It was weird. He thought the damage he saw did not match the damage they discussed.
That damage doesn't match. Sir, you haven't even looked at the boat yet. That damage doesn't match.
Nice. He said there was no piles of metal on Maury Island at all, and that the existing samples looked like slag from a metal smelter. His conclusion was that Dahl and Chrisman had faked the incident to gain publicity for a magazine article. So the two officers that died, they didn't say it was a hoax. They just said they weren't interested in the aluminum. This guy said
aluminium. Let's be polite to our overseas people.
But that doesn't even make sense.
Aluminium, you're right. They're stupid.
off the rails.
So the FBI warned Dahl and Chrisman that their hoax had not succeeded, and that if they dropped the matter, the government would not prosecute the two men for the fraud, which had resulted in the deaths of these two officers. Which, I mean, come on. They would have said that to cover it up also. You know
what
I mean? Of
course. Oh, totally.
So you can't go either way on this. Or you can go either way on this.
The one thing I'll say here, and if this thing is fake, if this is a hoax, it's a really shitty hoax because two people actually died. They would not have been on that plane on their way back from a place they flew to investigate had the hoax not existed.
I mean, have you ever told a lie that just got out from under you? You know, this is why Lisa thinks
I'm a
doctor.
Military officers die.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I don't think anyone's died because of my lies.
Yeah, maybe on the inside a little bit. I mean, Stacy's eyes are just blank and hollow. 1,000-yard stare. So Dahl and Chrisman at first, they went along with this. They made statements that the story was fake and simply refused to give interviews on the matter. They just like, you know what? We're done. We're out of here. But a few years later, January of 1950, there's an issue of Fate magazine. Chrisman said that the incident happened and Kenneth Arnold included Maury Island in the 1950 book The Coming of the Saucers. So he went along with it, but then he said, you know what, fuck it, I want to tell the truth, he said, is what he was doing, and I'm not going to be silenced.
Or he just wanted to write a book.
Right. We're going to go to break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk the conspiracy angle here even more, how it ties in with one John F. Kennedy.
Pork chop sandwiches!
That's next on Hysteria 51. Poor Lucky.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network, and you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
And we are back for season 2 of a very merry, iconic podcast. We're going to be diving into your favorite holiday movies, recapping them, and going on a few tangents.
Yes, and it's the end of the world as we know it. So why not close out 2020 with a bunch of episodes of Holiday Recap with us?
So we hope everyone grabs a cup of eggnog.
And a fistful of candy.
Cook that bird in
Doritos.
The
Doritos. We don't care what you're into. Just join us.
Grab your bed wine. Grab your couch cocoa. We're getting lit on the holiday movies. We'll be doing 10 recap episodes. So subscribe to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And find us on social media at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram. And we'll have all the updates there.
Acast recommends.
It was the Masons.
We should just do that.
Always goes back.
We need to make that every episode. It was the Masons. What's your thoughts? Masons, obviously. It was Masons.
So that shitty movie I told you about. God, I hope the producer isn't listening to this. Actually, you know what I think that movie is? I think that movie is a treatment to get a full movie made. They do that sometimes. That's what it really, I really hope it is, at least.
It was like 2014.
I'm glad you brought it back up, because I wanted to ask you, how are these guys portrayed in the movie? I'm curious.
Kind of dumb.
Right. Like, were they bumpkins or were they patrolmen? Or?
They look like your normal fisherman guys. They're out in there, you know what I mean?
So fishermen are dumb?
No, I'm just saying, your average.
I'm just painting you into a corner.
Yeah, no, they're your average,
just the kind of guys that aren't thinking too far ahead about stuff and would come up with it. So, well.
And they, it's funny. Speaking of Masons, Hoover is portrayed as kind of this almost Winston Churchillish type of figure. And
isn't the one at the very beginning where he's like, what parts of this are real?
Yes.
What parts of this are fake?
Yes. Yeah. I flew you all the way here for a reason. I don't know why he just came from Mississippi, but he did. Anyway, the point is they take a long pause and they zoom in on his hands as he crosses them, and he's got a Masonic ring on.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Just tying it all together.
And then when they pan back out, it's Al Pacino. I'm a Phantom Man. All right, so let's get into the big conspiracy in this one. Some writers, including Arnold and Palmer, hey, those two go together nicely, hinted that the officers
I never made that connection.
Died because they knew too much. Meaning,
I gotta take us off course here. Are you a familiar? So, aren't you know what an Arnold?
No,
Palmer
I don't
is?
Believe in vampires. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were going off course.
You know what an Arnold Palmer is?
Yeah. Oh, I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
There is a version of that has alcohol called a John Daly. And you know, that was a joke that bars made, like, tongue in cheek. And, well, John Daly is taking advantage of that. You can go now to the liquor store and buy a John Daly.
Yeah. I mean, John Daly has never seen a dollar he didn't like, right? Like, he's always willing to shill
or
for
a
something.
Drink he didn't like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It works out well.
Indeed.
It makes me realize that I could also be a professional athlete. I have the physique for it.
Inspirational tale.
Yeah. We're talking about these two. They knew too much. Captain Edward Ruppelt of Project Blueprint. The Maury Island incident was the dirtiest hoax in UFO history. It cost the life of two airmen. That is a horrible thing. Kind of like John said. But years later, Crispin's name would reemerge in another contentious context. So back in December of 1968, while investigating what he believed to be a high-level conspiracy to murder President John F. Kennedy, like that would happen, New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison called Crispin to testify before a grand jury. Some early assassination conspiracy theorists would identify Crispin as one of the three mystery hobos arrested and photographed shortly after the shooting in Dallas. There was these three characters that they were photographing and talking to everyone on the plaza then, but these guys were like mystery men,
so,
and they thought he was
one of
them. And
if one of them was Crispin, wow, that'd be a really weird tie-in. It's also worth noting, this comes from author Ken Thomas, that Jim Garrison, who we talked about on our JFK episode, mm-hmm. I mean, he is, if you watch the movie JFK by Oliver Stone, he's played by, he's the main character. He's played by Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's who Jim Garrison is. He was a field agent in Washington State at the time of the Maury incident.
Yeah. So he's the guy who called him to testify. Crazy, right?
Right.
Then, in 1979, the House Select Committee on Assassinations, that one is one that we've referenced many times,
yep,
reported that forensic anthropologists had analyzed and compared the photographs of the hobos and those of Crispin, as well as the photograph of Watergate figures E. Edward Hunt, Frank Sturgis, and two other men. And according to many, only Crispin resembled any of the hobos. But the same committee determined that it was not him. He wasn't in Dealey Plaza.
He wasn't at Dealey Plaza.
Allegedly.
Yeah, he looks like it, but no.
Yeah, so before his death, Crispin was peddling a new, improved, UFO-less version of the Maury Island story.
So remember, remember earlier we talked about those photos? Well, he was now claiming that the truth, quote-unquote, was that those flying donuts that were dropping slag, those weren't UFOs at all, but something more dangerous.
Werewolf women of the SS.
Illegal dumping by military aircraft of radioactive waste into the harbor.
Oh. Which is way believable.
Yeah, more plausible. When was this, by the way? So did he pass recently in the last, like, 20 years or so? Or
so he died in 75, so okay. Leading up to that, so early 70s, let's call it.
Even before he was cleared from the committee, he was dead.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But he was saying that it wasn't UFOs, that it was and that's what we were talking about before with the pictures, that it was radiation,
right?
Yeah.
That damaged those pictures, and it was the U.S. government dumping that radiation into Puget Sound.
The reason I bring it up is because now it sounds like, so he's looking to get attention any way that he can, and this story, he's like, well, how do I, you say he's peddling again, how do I get attention for this story again? Well, the environmental movement, we're in Washington, which is one of the
75, yeah,
right,
all that whole time in this.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So something that would get someone's attention. Nope. It was actually radioactive material. Oh, that'll bring attention to me because people are thinking this is some kind of, you know, nefarious pollution dealio. So I don't know. Like it again leads me to believe that this guy is just a grifter.
What if, I mean, I think we all agree with that.
Yeah.
But what if everything Crispin said was true? He fought weird robot type creatures underground during World War II with ray guns. He was there at Maury Island when aliens attacked. He was in Dallas when JFK was shot. This guy led the most interesting life in the history of lives.
He's like Forrest Gump.
All I want to do, stand on the shore while my guys go out in their boat and get me logs. But they keep dragging me back in. I don't know. So there's problems with this.
With the whole story, there are problems. Yeah. So the first, this isn't a problem with the story so much. It's a problem with the media attention it's garnered. Everyone keeps saying it was before Roswell.
No, June 21st was this one. Roswell was June 14th.
So both incidents weren't reported until days later. But if you're taking the date that the people say they happened, this happened on June 21st. He was visited by the Men in Black on June 22nd. We know what happened in Roswell. We know that the farmer found the stuff and didn't tell anyone that mattered for a number of weeks. But if you date back to when he supposedly found the stuff, that's June 14th. This did not happen before Roswell.
Now let's talk about Fred Lee Crispin. Which you got
to
throw
the
Lee in there.
Let's get back to old Freddy.
When you throw the Lee in, he sounds more evil. Fred Lee Crispin.
That's because all serial killers, they name three names with for some reason.
Yeah. John Billy Goforth.
No.
John Billy.
We got some issues with Freddy. He was not a stranger, as we talked about, to the world of weird. Mid-40s, his name appeared in the letter section of the pulp Amazing Stories, adding to editor Ray Palmer's ongoing series.
Yeah, this is what we were talking about before. It wasn't Fate Magazine yet. This was Amazing Stories.
The Shaver Mystery began as a series of letters to the editor from Richard Shaver about his knowledge of the remnants of an underground civilization. Shaver developed a vocabulary unique to his stories, including the term Darrow for devolved robot or degenerate robot.
I know a degenerate robot.
So,
which caught on as a buzzword for a time in American pop culture. I mean, who doesn't Darrow? You're so Darrow.
You know, and unrelated to this, in Australia, Darrow, a negative term, a derogatory term.
In what way can you
use it in a sentence?
Yeah,
you're such a Darrow.
Well, that's okay. We can definitely slander rednecks for
so
sure.
They're like a redneck, it says online. I had to look it up real quick. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
So anyway, he...
Were these guys Darrows out there logging?
No. We're saying that Darrow did not mean that, but instead did mean devolved robot. And he invited readers to send in their own information, memories, and stories about the world of Darrows.
Right.
Crispin's letter in June of 1946, so about a year before Maury Island, he sent it in and it was published in the issue of...
He fought him in the ground with ray guns.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. To be specific, he had an experience where he and a fellow soldier were in a cave in Burma.
You ain't taking weapons, you ain't helping nobody. Burma's a war zone.
Yep, thank you, C-Bot. It's over. It's over. All right.
Andrew First Blood! Andrew First Blood!
Anyway, the point is that Crispin magically pops up in a lot of these places.
Mm-hmm.
Crispin is the one who contacted Palmer, who edited Amazing Stories, and who wound up being part of Fate Magazine about the whole Maury Island thing. But there was one person that believed everything Crispin had to say, and that was Harold Dahl. He actually thought that the 1960s TV series The Invaders was based on Crispin's life.
Little do you know, two things about that. One, maybe it was. Two, Dahl saw his dog killed by an alien spacecraft. So, I'm going with him.
War changes a man.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
What do you think? What do you think, John?
Obviously, I'm not a huge believer in this thing at face value. The one thing I will say is how interesting is it that all this kind of weird shit happened?
Yeah.
I guess I would lend it a lot less credence if those unfortunate officers hadn't died in the wreck. Because that just smells like cover-up, right?
Yeah, those and the manifesto showing that they're traveling with top secret material.
Oh, the manifesto.
The manifest.
Here's what we think about the future of the American.
Which I guess manifest is short for manifesto, right? I don't know. Is it? I'm making that up.
I think you're making that up.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No. Whenever I write down my contents, it's part of my manifesto. So, it reads my
3 Diet Mountain Dews.
Yeah, my grocery list reads like a manifesto.
No, that's true. Listen, at the end of the day, there's some really weird coincidences in this story. So I don't want to abjectly dismiss it. But I do not believe that this was aliens. I think if they really were out there that day and anything weird happened, I think it was a lot closer to home. But there's also a really good chance they weren't even out there that day. Yeah. And they'd basically, there's a really good chance that Dahl was just kind of a sycophant for Chrisman. He read, he liked him. He liked all the stories he came up with. They got together, cooked this up, killed the dog and moved on.
I mean, who hasn't had that weekend also, you know?
Have a lot of sometimes you have to kill dogs in order to come up with a cool story. It's totally normal stuff.
Damn straight.
On that note, Mark, your thoughts.
I think you've got a couple guys who cooked up a little story and it caught fire and it got a little bit away from them, but they were enjoying the attention. I am curious about the plane crash element and the people saying that there was a cannon or some kind of 20 millimeter gun that shot it down. Wondering if that was investigated any further, if there's any more information on
You know, they were flying right over Los Angeles.
Yeah.
At that time,
right?
Battle of LA happened.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. This guy just seems like he's he wants to be a part of these stories. He wants to be around them. He's writing fanfic about robots and this kind of thing. You know, God love him. Obviously, it's an exciting topic, but I think he just got in a little over his head.
You know what I didn't look up? Where was the B-25 headed? If you say Wright-Patterson, I'm going to shit a purple Twinkie.
South.
Yeah, that's another thing. If they know that the manifest, they investigated the manifest and it said top secret cargo, who got their hands on the manifest for
that? Well, they probably, when they loaded at the army base or whatever they were at the time. They had
okay,
to,
but who was able to, was
well,
that a FOIA thing?
I can actually answer okay. that. Yeah, 50 years after it was classified, the entire case file on this was declassified.
Okay.
Here's my look at it. I agree with you guys. The thing about is very crazy that the plane went down. But the fact that they were there and putting top secret on it, I don't look at that as big of a thing.
As a smoking gun?
Because here's why. This is a time when we were taking, we as in the U.S. government, those things pretty seriously and hush-hushing, but also looking into these things. Project Blue Book, things like that, we're getting ready to ramp up and happen and things like that. And we didn't really know, per se, what was maybe UFO. Was it Russian? Was it something else? And so it doesn't surprise me that if they came forward and said something like that, they might even said, I think it's aluminum, but we're going to take this just in case.
Right. You know, they did say it was big.
You know, this thing was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
But shaped like a donut.
Wait, is that an official unit of measure on Hysteria 51?
It is. We've discussed this before. And bigger or smaller than a Walmart? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like back in the day, they used to say bigger than a bread box.
Right, right.
On this show, it's bigger than a Walmart.
Okay.
This thing was so huge.
That was Travis Walton, by the way, that Fire in the Sky guy.
Yeah. Sure.
That's who said that.
Awesome.
So it's just a really interesting. I'm kind of with you. This guy, you know, there's too many holes in his past for me to take him at face value. But yeah, like you said, this plane crash and stuff is the big smoking gun.
We talked about that before. You made this point about how every time there's one of these witnesses, these eyewitnesses, you're like, oh, that person sound. Oh, I know. On our alien implant show, we were talking about patient 17.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By the way, the director of which will be on this program in about a month.
Jeremy Corbell.
Yeah.
Tiny bubble. And the wine. Sorry.
Yeah, Aid doing it again. You okay over
You should ask him that repeatedly when he shows up. Hey. So you give me some of that Corbell money?
You're
going to
have Corbell money? Come on. Come on, man.
Come on. So, just be honest.
He said on patient 17, at first they're just like, this is a normal guy, right? This is just an average Joe. And then
you come to find out
that, he was really into UFOs his entire life.
Yeah, but
and
you know what?
The point you had made was that every time in these stories, it's always some guy like this Chrisman dude. Oh, yeah, he wrote fan fiction. Oh, yeah, he was really into UFOs. Oh, yeah, three different incidents occurred with him. It's like it's almost too convenient.
Exactly.
Like you want the normal guy that's never been into this shit. You want something like that to happen to them.
And obviously that's what someone would say who wants to be a skeptic of it. I mean, what's the first thing you do? If you're an attorney and you get someone that you want to impugn their character, you want to talk about times in the past when they have lied or told half-truths or whatever else.
Right.
So, you know, obviously that thread would be more easy to be believed by somebody who's a skeptic. But it's just too, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's why I always believe things like this. Let me rephrase that.
You always believe
when things like this happen, I believe that people, and a lot of them could be completely, you know, explained away, but people never even try to because they just go, nope, not coming forward, not going to say a word.
Right.
You know? You see a meteor and you don't know it was a meteor, but there's a light in the sky. You go, no, I ain't telling no one. No one's going to believe
it. It's almost as if you've been doing too much science.
Too much science? Is that possible?
So, gang, tell us what you think. Do you believe Crispin? Do you believe Dahl? Do you believe that the man in black really came to them? Was this the first man in black experience? Because this kind of tipped it off and started it here. How can they tell us, John?
I would get on Facebook and I would search Hysteria Nation. That is our Facebook discussion group. Hop on there. Let us know what you think. And most certainly let us know that you're not a bothead.
Bothead. You know what? I think we're going to have a new t-shirt. I think that's a good one.
No. Great one.
You can also hop on Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. Find our regular page there. At Hysteria51Pod on Twitter. Look for us on Snapchat. Send us some funny craziness. Find us on Instagram. We're always posting fun photos on there. And
I still don't understand Snapchat.
One of your buddies, he works for Snapchat.
That's true.
Our good friend, Matt Owens.
Mowens.
And don't forget, Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find extra episodes up all nights. You can get yourself a t-shirt. You can host a show. You can pretend you're Mark Freshour and pick the topic. Come on, do on it. He didn't pick this topic. We just told him what he was doing, but you know what I'm talking about.
So totally not like me at all,
exactly.
But
exactly.
They get it.
Also, voicemails.
Almost nothing like.
773-669-7277.
That's 773-669-7277. Call us and pour your heart and soul out to us. Brent, I've noticed one thing about our voicemails.
What's that?
They always get drunk before they call us.
They're always like, hi, or hi, bitches. That was one of my favorite ones, where she's like, oh, hi, bitches. We got a bunch. Let's play some of these tonight, John.
Let's do it.
Hey, guys. You guys are fucking awesome. Just got all my swag from signing up with Patreon. You guys are awesome, man. I love this stuff. I'm going to pimp it out. I'm going to tell everybody what's up.
What's up?
Anyway, man, play this email. All you guys need to go to Patreon because you guys are awesome. What you offer up is awesome. A dollar? Come on. Who ain't got a fucking dollar?
This guy's all right.
Sorry about my language. Anyway, this is Dwayne.
Yep.
A.K.A. Snatch Twat on Twitter. Anyway, you guys, they're just over the top. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I don't want to call you the next best thing to blurry photos, but you guys are the next best thing to blurry photos. Anyway,
David Flora.
You guys are awesome, 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 awesome. Everybody check it out. I'm pimping you out on Twitter. Can't say enough about you guys, man. Keep the good shows coming, dude. And P.S. Check that private tweet.
Oh.
Anyway.
Ooh.
Love you guys. Pimping you out. Bye bye.
This guy slide into your
DMs. Steve, you rock.
What'd you say, Mark?
Did this guy slide into your DMs?
He might have. I'm really bad about noticing those for some reason. I don't. I need to get in there. And
you could. It could be a love request.
That was Patreon pimping. He was pimping our Patreon. That was pretty awesome. AKA Snatch Twat.
Yeah, Snatch Twat.
I think that was the key word there. Awesome, right?
That's right. Now, moving on, here we go.
Hey, fellas. Fuck off, C-Bot. Mark Yvonne here. Today is October 19th. It makes it my 26th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congrats.
To my dear bride, Jamie. The fact that she stayed with me so long is worthy of an episode itself. I know this won't make it today to air, but just thought I'd be nice to put it out there for all to hear.
Yeah.
Love the show. Keep it up, guys. Now let me count to three. One, yep. Two, three.
There it goes.
Happy anniversary, Mrs. Avant.
Yeah,
that's her name, right?
20 years to 26 more, and then keep going. So that is awesome. Lisa and I, we just celebrated 5. What are you at now?
3 and change.
Yeah,
almost 4.
Yeah.
Almost.
And Mark, you're still a asexual, right?
Indeed.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
It's paying off in spades. I love you, honey.
Yep. One more, John. Let's do one more.
Yeah. What it is, man? Y'all looking for somebody from New York? What's good, though? You know? C-Bot, I fucks with you, man.
Yes.
So, y'all right now, y'all need to do an episode on George the Legend Sucralose.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's even not a bad idea.
Yeah, you guys have to, right? Keep doing your thing, man. All right.
I asked and he gave. We got
that's
someone.
Awesome.
It's actually not a bad idea. We talk
you know what
about
his background
sucralose.
Is he bodybuilding. Promotion.
Yeah, promotions. And then he was after bodybuilding promotions. It's so funny how he identifies himself still to this day as the editor of Legendary magazine. Is
Which
that what it's called?
Hasn't been around in, forever, and was only around for a very short amount of time.
It's like, dude, you're the Ancient Aliens guy.
Legendary
Deal with
Times,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who we're talking about?
Absolutely no clue, but he sounds great.
Yeah, Giorgio Tsoukalos, the guy with the crazy hair, aliens, that guy.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's kind of responsible, I would say, for the alien fervor that's been in America for the last few years because of Ancient Aliens. It really brought out a lot now.
And quite frankly, that meme. I mean, that's how I know about him. And I think there's a lot of people.
I just did the hands.
Yeah.
I know you all saw that at home. But yeah, the hand thing was aliens. Yeah. So that's awesome. John, you know what we're going to do, too? We played some voicemails. Let's hear some 5-star reviews.
Ah, I love the idea.
Nah, pass.
You know what? Let's do some 5-star and then maybe I'll give you a not so nice review.
Yeah, let's do all those.
All right. First up, we have Jolly Codger, 5 stars. The name of the review is Make It Stop. I dirtied up my beautiful Windows machine with iTunes and gave you 5 stars. Now make the robot stop sending power tools, drums of mayonnaise, and sex dolls to my house. Yeah. Love you guys. First podcast I ever went back and listened to every episode of.
Number one, that's awesome. Number two, it sounds like you got power tools, drums of mayonnaise.
Yeah, I would kill for a drum of mayonnaise. It's amazing.
Like like that's just a party in a canister.
That it is. Next up from Tattoo 121274.
Man, there's a lot of tattoos in front of you, buddy.
titled Excellent Podcast! ! It's 5 stars. The hosts are very funny, but also very informative. I wish I could give it more than 5 stars.
Oh.
We wish you could too.
Yeah, that's a universal truth right there.
Here's from Big Nards 101.
Nards, awesome.
He's a general manager for Menards. You know.
Stay Woke Meat Sacks, 5 stars. Stay Woke Meat Sacks.
So he's a man of repetition. I like it. Hit me with a bad one, John.
Oh, wait. One. Well, let me give you one more.
Oh.
One more from EFARZ, EFARZ, titled "This is from an older episode." ... or ellipses.
Ellipses.
Want to church it up? 5 stars. But I'm starting from the beginning, so Brent is an ugly pigeon.
Yeah, we forgot about that. Yeah.
Anyway, absolutely love this show. Been listening for a few weeks, and it just gets better and better. Pretty sure I've alienated some of my friends with how much I talk about it. They just can't handle the truth.
Weren't we doing something if they said Brent is an ugly pigeon?
Yeah, I think we were sending them
stickers or something.
Stickers, yeah.
Say, hey, reach out to me. Send us a direct message through our Facebook page. And we'll get you that sticker.
And that's actually a really good point to make to all the listeners. If you address us in a review, we don't know who you are. So we cannot respond. Like I saw one from.
So leave your social security number, your name and address that review.
I saw one from somebody. One of our reviews said, I still haven't gotten my free T-shirt. Like they went back and changed it. Well, if we owed you a T-shirt, we'd be more than happy to send it. But we don't know who you are, and we don't know how to reach out to you.
And we're happy to do it, because every time you're wearing that, that's a billboard for us. So we'll
you're
definitely
gonna get 50 inbox messages. All right.
I'm ready.
Here is
ready.
One
willing
that
and
is,
able.
Here's one that is one
is
star.
Is it called It's Wolf Not Woof?
It is not. 1 star from Jonesy 8888.
Jonesy's too.
This is from much earlier in the year, but I just came across it.
I mean, it takes a long time.
Title: Juvenile and Boring.
Ooh.
I'll take that first one.
Yeah.
I'll adopt
that. Kind of the point, Jonesy.
Yeah. two guys spending all their time chit chatting about nothing at all. Now that's not true. We're talking about shit.
Yeah.
It might seem
frivolous.
Might
be stuff you don't like, but it's the topic at hand.
It's like an overheard private conversation between strangers.
Wow. Isn't that what a podcast is supposed to be?
Well, but the thing is, I mean, this asshole I've known for 30 years, I don't know that we sound like strangers.
One of my favorite things that, they're strange. Yeah, I think he's the stranger.
Oh, yes.
Well, there's a meme going around, and it's like these people sitting, it's a picture on a banner, and it's people sitting around laughing, and then there's an actual person sitting laughing with them, and it's like what it feels like listening to podcasts.
Yeah. They're not really interested in the subjects, and most podcasts deal with these matters much better. The only part I can agree with is probably the last part.
Yeah, I'm sure that most subjects, these topics are covered way better than we do.
Jonesy's listening.
I've made a living off these topics because I love them so much. So, Jonesy, I'm jonesing for an update. let me know. I'm a
long-time listener, first-time reviewer.
Yeah, you know, it only takes one.
But hey, listen, we still appreciate the fact that you took time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next time,
so much that you need to let me know.
Yeah, that's true. Next time, just do it with 5 stars. That's all we ask. It helps with discovery. We want people to discover this dumpster fire.
We also want them to discover our returning guest, Mark Freshour. Holy shit, thanks for coming back on.
I loved it.
One more thing, kids, before we go, we want to give a special thanks to our sources for today's episode: WeirdUS.com, Ripley's.com, Wikipedia, KNKX Public Radio, and of course, our good friends at How Stuff Works.
And so the next blurry photos, fuck David Flora. I want to make sure that got out. I don't know if we do not like blurry photos or David Flora, the host. So I just want, if that was, I fear that when I said that, in the voicemail, it was blurred. I just want to let you all know that we do not like them, and fuck him.
David, I love you, and don't listen to him.
Somehow someone's going to take that seriously and be like, just fuck
him. Keyboard warriors coming after you.
Yeah. All right, so Mark, thanks again. Thanks a ton, and hopefully it's not 2 years between this time. We'll shoot for 3. I think
it's a good point.
So with that said, I've been Brent.
I'm Mark.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.